Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, and my co-host, Felicity Signal-Reed. Each week we visit with a local author. We give you an introduction to their work and a glimpse into their lives. We ask them what prompts them to write, and we have an opportunity to hear them read from their work. Today we're very pleased to welcome Jessica Outram. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi.
Jessica is currently Vice Principal at East Northumberland Secondary School in Brighton. She's a poet and playwright and teaches writing as well. And as if that wasn't enough, she is also the publisher and editor of an anthology called From the Cottage Porch, which was published in 2012 by Sunshine in a Jar Press. She is presently preparing to publish yet another anthology called The Writing Spiral. In her spare time, she also sings and acts with the Coburg Victorian Operetta Society. Jessica, I know you're going to read a piece of memoir for us a little later from the book we just mentioned, From the Cottage Porch. How has your family contributed to your writing life?
I think when you first start out as a writer, you go with the mantra, write what you know. And what I know is family. I've got lots of great memories growing up with my family, and they've contributed a lot. Through my plays are both inspired by family traditions, and the book From the Cottage Porch was inspired also by lots of time spent at the cottage with family.
Is family going to play as important a role in your future writing plans, or do you have other projects in mind at the moment?
I think I've done what I can for now with the work that I've done with family in terms of my living relatives, but I have been researching my family tree recently and had some really excellent discoveries, and in a way I guess that's family too. They're just people I've only met through the research, and yes, the work that I've been doing there has been inspiring some blogging that I've been doing, and I've been meeting all sorts of relatives on the internet, and met one this morning in fact, as well as has inspired a piece of literary fiction that I've been working on that hopefully the protagonist will interact with some of her ancestors.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. What are the benefits, do you think, of belonging to a writer's group? And how did you come to join Spirit of the Hills writer's group?
I think it's so important for writers to come together, even if it's just to have breakfast or to learn with each other, because you can learn so much from each other's work, from each other's creative choices. There's a certain energy when you put a bunch of writers in a room. And I remember back in 1999 going to my first writing group event with the Writers' Circle of Durham Region and realizing that these are my people. How I came to become part of Spirit of the Hills is I was invited to do a workshop on script writing and went to the Grafton Inn where we held our breakfasts and had such a lovely morning, and then came to Coburg for lunch afterwards and sat there and thought, you know what, I could live here. So I did. I applied for a job and I moved out here, and I have Spirit of the Hills to thank for a major life change.
I love that story. Before we ask you to read it, I also wanted to ask you just a little bit about The Writing Spiral, your new publication that's coming out later this year. Could you just tell us a little bit about what is the backbone of that idea?
Sure. The idea came to me actually when I was at the cottage, so it's interesting how everything is connected. And I was out on a boat ride and, you know, thinking those deep thoughts about writing and life, and though the whole book kind of came to me in a vision. And I had read a book years ago when I was doing my master's research that talked a lot about the idea of learning as a spiral, and I started thinking about writing as a spiral. And I thought, I love writing books. I'm a writing book junkie. Let's put together a lot of really great writers and look at what we've learned and how writing has spiraled through our lives and capture that spirit of what it means to become a writer and how writing impacts everything that we do after we've become one. So it's been great fun so far. I've done a preliminary reading of the submissions. They look fantastic. And I think we're going to have a really, really good piece of work.
Oh, that sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Well, perhaps now you would read for us.
Sure. So I'm going to read a selection from the anthology From the Cottage Porch. And this is a memoir called Porch Bingo. Porch Bingo. Britt, Ontario, 1997. Aunt Pat and Estelle, Nancy, Mum, and I arrive early. We sit at a folding wood table in the Britt Legion. To attempt to filter the air, a smog hog hangs in each corner from the ceiling, but the smoke still buries deep into my clothes, my hair, my skin. The scent lingers for days after I leave Bingo. Dartboards and pictures of past Legion executives and veterans line the walls. I count 67 people at Bingo tonight. Mum and I made a deal. If I win, she gets half my prize. If she wins, I get half her prize. Some of the Bingo players in the Brit Legion drive from Magnetowan First Nations Reserve on the other side of the highway. When I look into the brown faces and brown eyes, I see something familiar. I see pieces of Mum, Uncle Bruce, Aunt Pat, and Aunt Estelle, and my brother looking back at me. I see Aunt Bernice with her high cheekbones. For years I've wondered about the resemblance. I've wondered if we are relatives. It isn't until 2010 that I learn about my Métis heritage, and I finally understand my attraction to the beautiful people with the deep brown eyes. 2 minutes left before the game begins. Three people still need to buy Bingo cards. Mum passes me her troll with the orange hair and tinfoil crown. Mum made it for Aunt Pat for Christmas last year as a joke to persuade her to join us at Bingo. Aunt Pat said we should all share the Bingo troll, and it should live in Mum's Bingo bag. And then, she said, she would be delighted to play Bingo with us. "Maybe tonight you'll win," Mum says to me. At the front of the room, the Bingo caller, a man in his late 30s with black hair and dark sunglasses, switches on the Bingo machine and turns the crank to spin the balls. "Good evening, and welcome to the Brit Legion Bingo," he says. "There are 171 days until Christmas. Don't forget to buy your raffle tickets for the baking table to support the Brit Community Center. The 50-50 draw will be just before the jackpot game. But first, we need to pick our king and queen." I poke Mum in the arm. "We hope Aunt Pat gets picked as the queen. It's her first time at the Brit Legion Bingo." Even though Aunt Pat lived here when Brit didn't have electricity, and she grew up being chased by Wally and Uncle Bruce with snakes, Aunt Pat lives in Toronto now. Mum, Aunt Estelle, Nancy, and I put her name in the bowl for queen. "Pat," the caller announces. I hoot. A stocky girl with long black hair brings Aunt Pat the tinfoil crown. Aunt Pat must wear the crown for the entire game. "All right, queen," the caller says. "Pick your number."
"B7.
"If B7 is called, you must stand up and declare, 'I am the queen of the Brit Legion Bingo.' Then one of our girls will bring you a loony." The king of the bingo picks 066. Clickety-click. Our first game, one line, any direction. Silence sweeps the room. The bingo balls tumble in the bowl of the machine. Tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck. One pops out. B7.
"I am the queen of the Brit Legion Bingo," Aunt Pat proclaims. She stands and waves her hand like Princess Diana.
"Give the queen her loony," the caller replies. The bingo girl skips to our table. She smacks a loony on Aunt Pat's open hand and smiles. Mum went to her first bingo with Aunt Blanche in Sudbury. Aunt Blanche could play 24 cards at a time. She played at the French bingo at St. Jean de Brébeuf on Notre Dame Avenue. She used smooth silver markers that looked like nickels because no one had invented clear markers or flashy daubers yet. Every time she won the jackpot, she hid it. She donated it to the church or bought clothes for her nieces and nephews. She bought my mom a new winter coat and Uncle Bruce his first suit. The Brit Legion Bingo ends. I didn't win tonight. I had hoped to buy some new magazines and rent movies with my winnings. Mum nearly won. She needed 075, the grandpa of bingo. Aunt Pat, Aunt Estelle, Nancy, Mum, and I pile into the Burgundy Impala. We drop off Nancy on the side of the road in front of her cottage. Nancy's cottage is Grandma Laura's old house, the house where Mum grew up. 2 summers later, the postmaster told Dad that Bingo had moved from the Brit Legion. Magnetowan First Nations built a new community center, Dad reported. Bingo's still on Thursday, but you'll have to go to the reserve.
Well, thank you, and I think we'll take a short break now.